we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Let's get lost in a better place. Pick up a bird, travel through time and space. So much to learn, so much to see. A chance to escape reality. Open your mind and your heart. Gain new knowledge, get a fresh new start. They never will bring you there. So let's talk about it. Well, I and on the air.
Hi, everyone. This is Fran Lewis. This is MJ Network. MJ in memory of my sister, Marsha Joyce. And guess what? The sun's out. Finally, it's not raining. It's beautiful. But this is going to be an exciting show. And let me remind everyone, I'm going to give away just a little bit of a secret that I'm going to do at the end of the show. At the end of the show, I will announce the 2019 Just Reviews Awards, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
Nice.
Somehow, I figured out to do all of these awards in different categories. No two are the same. That's pretty good for me. So I will put them out on my social media later, and I will announce them because I have the list printed out in front of me. But first, let's welcome Vincent Zandri, and we're going to talk about primary termination. And if you break the rules, watch what happens. You're not going to like it. So, freedom is basic. How did you create a corporation that takes over everything and doesn't care? And how did you happen to come up with this? This is brilliant. Because I've read like 10,000 books, and this is different than everyone I've read.
Hey, Fran, thanks for having me again. I always love being on your show. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
Always a pleasure. How did I come up with this? I was actually sitting in a bar, with a friend of mine. I want to say like 6 months ago, and it just kind of dawned on me. I just had an epiphany, and I'm like, I'm thinking about a company that's very much like you know who, like Amazon, basically. And I said, how would it be like in 10 years from now if like they just owned everything? You know, like even they even owned the military. You know, they even took over the military, and like the U.S. government would have to buy weapons from them. Like that's how big they'd get. And, like, the president of this company, which I'm calling Everest, and then the president of this corporation, will be obviously more powerful than the president. And if you're more powerful than the president, then you're the most powerful man in the world. And I said, what if, like, their control, their overall control came about by this AI device that everyone now has in their homes? It's called Alexa. With Amazon, but with me, I called it Jackie. And the AI becomes so powerful that it knows precisely, it knows what you want before you even know what you want. It knows you need before you even know what you need. It knows how you feel before you feel something. That's how powerful it gets. And we feed it information, our most personal information every day. It knows your most personal habits. Everything from, you know, your favorite sexual positions to, like, when, you know, your bathroom habits. Right? Right? It knows everything.
Yeah, I know.
And so then I took it a step further, and this is where I got into the plot. I was thinking, like, okay, let's face it, like, Amazon's KDP program has been a big burden on big publishing. I think we're down to like four publishing houses now, main publishing houses in New York, as the consolidations continue, something like that. And I thought, like, okay, this will be 2028. And at this point, the book, I just pictured it, the book is going to start with the last remaining New York City editor leaving the last remaining house, which is going bankrupt. And she's has no choice at 40 or 41 years old but to move back in with her parents in upstate New York, because she's in such debt herself and stuff like that. And then I could leave it there if you want to go from there, or I could continue.
Well, that's what cracked me up. It's like poor Tanya. She was the editor of a publishing company, and then she gets stuck moving back with her parents, who didn't seem to really mind. They were happy to have her there. But there was another book I just read like that, too. This scares you. She's like everywhere, Jackie. No matter where you are, she hears you. And even if you want to turn her off, you can't.
Right. You can't. No. And in fact, what they're trying, what Everest is trying to do, and this will come out in the second book, they're trying to launch a satellite. Because in this book, there are still places in the world you can go where the AI doesn't work very well. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to launch a satellite, in which case, even if you went underground, you would not be able to hide from Jackie.
Well, this, I knew there was going to be a sequel. See, I knew that. Because I could tell how it ended. And I'm going like, oh, my God. The next one's going to be even scarier than this one. I was like, I was afraid to say anything while I was reading the book, to be honest.
Yeah, it's going to be
two more. I was afraid she was going to hear me. Really. Seriously. So this AI can do, what can this AI do that alerts readers to know that she's dangerous? I don't know. Oh, she's really dangerous. I know. You don't want to mess with Jackie, and you have to be careful what you say, but it doesn't matter. She's going to hear you anyway. It's like she can read your mind.
She can read your mind.
I know.
And she's not supposed to be, you know, like when the book starts, you know, Tanya narrates the book, and she comments on it. She's like, I don't think the Jackie AI system has gotten to the point where she can read minds. But as soon as she says that, Jackie, makes a comment that is essentially, that proves essentially that she's reading her mind. So, you know, I actually think this is all coming. I really do. I mean, that was the weird thing about writing it. It's real.
Yeah.
We're on our way, you know, for sure.
That's what's really scary. You know, I track up sometimes. I get emails from publishing companies and publicists and stuff, and then the books come in the mail, and I'm saying, like, how did it get here? I don't even know who this is. And they know where to send them. It's frightening. I mean, I got 3 books last week, and I go, like, who are these authors? Where did these books come from, and who sent them? And it's, like, spooky.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't want any more. So,
it's weird enough that, like, you know, you can Google something, and suddenly you're getting advertisements for whatever you're Googling on. You know, or if you go to Amazon and you type something in, like, you're going to get besieged. I guess they call those cookies, but it's just the beginning. That's the beginning of you being mapped. As an individual, that's the beginning of you being controlled.
I know, because it's almost as if Google is deciding what I should look at and what stories I should look at. It's funny because I'm doing a panel show on December 12th with 4 people that are braving it with me. We're going to do it on the opiate crisis, and all of a sudden I'm getting stories on Google on opiate crisis and different people and different doctors and stuff like that. And I'm doing one I'm doing one on November 19th. But how do you use your work, your job, in your writing? And I'm getting ones like that. I go like, oh my God, somebody's reading too much. So, what would happen? You've invented Cradle Direct Publishing. What happened that they're the only one? And what happened to the rest? And how did Everest take over all of them? I mean, seriously, what would happen? I don't know. Would it be better if there was only one publishing company and if they just do everything, but then you have to publish with them and you can't advertise with anybody else?
Well, the story mimics reality, and it's that, you know, like Tanya's love interest and partner in this is this guy, Tony Smart, who's an author, and he's a best-selling Cradle Direct Publishing author. However, he used to be with traditional houses, and he made a name for himself there. But then he found that he could make more money by going over to the Cradle Direct publishing program. And he would not only, much like KDP, he would not only mm-hmm. make more money, he'd enjoy total autonomy, freedom to do as he pleased, to write what he wanted, and to publish as often as he wanted. So why wouldn't he make the move? And if more and more authors actually do that over the course of the next 10 years, it's bye-bye publishing houses. Or publishing houses will become more like they'll pretty much just publish celebrities or celebrity newscasters and all that kind of stuff, you know. Maybe authors would publish the occasional book with them. But anyway, in my book, they're just kaput. Mm-hmm. They're done. They're finished.
This is scary. Then I thought about it. Huh? I said, well, would they accept everybody, or would they, you know, you have to send a query like you do now? I mean, to get into a publishing company like yours or any of them, Ocean View,
right.
I love Ocean View, by the way, or
Private
Publishers or any of them, it's like crazy.
Right.
You either win or lose. But so why do so many people think it's straight? It's great. And explain the Everest membership, primary membership, and how it works. That was scary, too. Oh, wow. I thought about, signing up, too. What the heck?
Well, this was also, and I'm not a political guy, so I'm not going to get into politics. But when I first thought of this plot, it was right at the beginning of all the candidates, the new candidates on the Democratic side coming out. And remember, everyone was trying to best everybody with who would get what for free?
Yeah.
And then even I think the tip off for me was when Andrew Yang said, you know what, we're going to give everybody $2,000 a month, right? And so then I was like, well, that's interesting. Because then I thought, that's interesting because what if Everest comes up with a program by which they offer a primary membership, in which case you receive a living wage for the rest of your life. However, the only catch, the only rule, is that you must buy Everest products exclusively. And if you're caught buying something outside the Everest brand, then you face what's called primary termination. And at the beginning of the book, you really don't know what primary termination is, and actually, it's even considered sort of a rumor that it doesn't really exist. If you sign up for the primary program, you can get out of it without a problem. But that's not the case. And once you face, if you do break the rules and face primary termination, you face like a hell that you wouldn't believe. I don't want to give anything away, Fran.
No, we don't want to give it away, but let me tell you, you don't want to break the rules. But, you know, I've been telling that to people on my show. If you don't follow my rules, you know, just watch out what happens. No, seriously.
Watch out.
And I try to explain to my nephew in school, from now on you will follow the rules, or your aunt will take over. That's it. No, they do. They follow my rules. They know.
Oh, I bet they do.
Oh, trust me. Yes,
yeah.
They know better. So Jackie insisted, and Tanya made her first mistake, by letting her download her application. So that means that she's as well as signed, and she didn't even say to her, Tanya, do you want to do it yourself? How come she let her just sign it up for her? She thought this was great. I mean, a lot of people would. You get your own salary for the rest of your life, and you never have to worry about where going shopping. I mean, that's so boring.
Right.
One place.
Well, remember that whole thing about like reading minds and reading emotions and reading feelings and knowing these things. And what Jackie does, Jackie waits until Tanya opens up, you know, goes to her smartphone and looks up her bank balance. And her bank balance is in the red. And she's like, oh my God, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And then Jackie chimes in, and she's like, oh, by the way, I've downloaded the Everest primary membership application for you. You might want to take a look at it before you go to bed. And she's just like, you know what? What am I going to do? And at the same time, her parents are encouraging her to join it as well.
Yeah, I know. because they belong, don't they? They belong. So it's like a bait
for
a war, and it's like, you know, it's just like, oh my God, now I don't have to worry about my money. Now I don't have to worry about anything until you do.
Right. It's billed as the most. You can live a stress-free, for the first time ever, you can live a stress-free existence. For the first time ever in history, you can live a stress-free existence.
Except if you don't do what they tell you to do, which is not so stress-free.
Right.
So
right.
This could really happen. So Tony's smart. Why did she revisit their relationship? And why did her parents encourage her? And, you know, sometimes relationships could take you down the road that you don't want to go to.
Oh, I wouldn't know anything about that, Fran.
I know.
But,
I often wonder myself sometimes, okay?
Right. Although the one I have going now, Fran, I think this is the keeper. I think sometimes three's a charm.
Oh, really? How come I don't know who this is? I don't know who this is.
Because it's still a secret. I can't unleash it on the world yet.
Oh, no. I got to be the first one to know because I have to give you my approval. That's what my
husband
told me too. They're not allowed to go out with anybody unless I approve them.
she's probably listening right now with a red face in her office.
Oh, okay. Hi, however you are. If you pick Vincent, you did a good job. Let me tell you. Okay.
All right. Awesome. Let's see. Okay. So Tony Smart. In a very romantic way. The book is not without romance, folks. It's not without some romantic. It's not without romantic suspense. I do have. I know I write hard-boiled fiction, but this is a. I also have a sentimental side.
I know.
Tony Smart, Tanya and Tony were high school lovers, or you know, high school sweethearts, I should say. Tony was Tanya's first in many ways, right? You know what that means. And,
I think so. I can figure that one out, maybe.
Right. But, I mean, in typical high school fashion, as soon as they graduated high school, she went to a college. She went to Stanford on the West Coast, and he stayed on the East Coast. And they're still young, and so they broke up. And her heart was broken, and, like, she never really had a satisfying relationship again for years and years. Tony went off and became a best-selling author and married. But as the book starts, he's divorced, newly divorced. And he's never he's continued to always love her or whatever. And the parents had run into him, and so he looked like he was doing great. And so Tanya's mother especially was really, you know, encouraging her daughter, who is now in her 40s, why don't you get together with Tony and see what happens? You know, like, you know, mothers do that stuff, right? So that's how it begins. And she does. And they take their relationship just like, it's almost like they haven't been apart for 20 years or whatever. You know, their relationship, you know, resumes right where it left off. And they're just like so together in many ways.
So they meet, and now they're both in the same program. But then, you see, you got to know red flags, people. She meets Matt, and then Kate calls her. And she doesn't see what's really happening in front of her. And then they decide, you see, this was so cute, though. You know, everybody has a favorite place that they like to go to. And she decided to go to Gus's hot dog place, and that's not good. I mean, I don't need hot dogs. I don't need anything that tastes good anymore. No, I don't need Frankfurters or anything that's great. Forget it. That's why I'm so skinny, whatever. But she went to this hot dog place. We used to go to Nathan's in Coney Island. That was my favorite place.
Yes. Right.
So how come that was a bad idea? I thought it was a cute idea. It was a bad idea.
Well, even though Everest is buying up almost everything that has, you know, every commercial enterprise, and or it's actually going to become law where even like private, you know, like family owned companies have to become at least a subsidiary of primary termination. There are still a few outliers left. There are still a few outliers left, little mom and pop operations that have nothing to do with Everest. In fact, and they consider them off grid. And so, this was part of, like, this. I thought of this at the bar as well, like, when we came up with the initial idea. I was like, okay, what if they go to, there is, Gus's Hot Dogs exists. It's, like, 3 miles away from me here in Albany. And it's just little shack. Just a little shack down on Waterville that serves up the best hot dogs and sausage and peppers and all that sort of stuff, right? And it's one of these places you would think, like, it's almost like somebody runs something out of their house, you know what I mean? And so, you know, I was like, okay, what if she and Tony get together, they have a couple of drinks, and, you know, they rekindle their relationship, and they're like, let's do something really silly, like go to Gus's, like we used to do as kids, and get some hot dogs, because we used to love to do that as kids, right? Makes sense.
Yeah.
And so, and they both, at this point, they both acknowledge that they both belong to the primary program. And Tony's like, hey, wait a minute, Gus isn't part of Everest, we can't. And she's like, how is somebody in the world going to know that we went and had a hot dog at something as stupid and simple as have a hot dog at Gus's? No one is ever going to know. And so they go down there, and it's kind of like Adam and Eve, you know, they eat from the forbidden fruit, Fran.
Mm-hmm.
And their world changes forever from that moment on.
It's like the simplest thing, and nobody would even think that. So then they have to fight off the drones, the police, and then their parents.
Right.
And that was so sad. I felt so bad because I told you people, you break the rules, you are now permanently primary termination. And her
parents, you face primary termination.
So it means that they are now slaves. How did you come up with where you send them? I wanted to cry. I got tissues on that one. Seriously.
Well, it kind of dawned on me that if Everest owns just about everything, they would also own all the prisons, the state prisons and the federal prisons.
Yeah.
And they also need, because they're so large by the time 2028 comes around, the amount of fulfillment centers they would need and the people to, you know, the manpower to take care of them, to facilitate them, would be enormous. So, of course, if you face primary termination, they're going to put you in prison. And what's your occupation going to be in that prison? You will be working the fulfillment center lines, the product fulfillment center lines.
Oh,
and
gosh.
So the prisons now become fulfillment centers.
It's so scary. It's so scary. And she felt horrible when she felt her parents were gone, and that I knew that was going to happen. So when they have to fight off the police and the Everett police and the AI, who was like all over the place, and that's why you have to watch what you have to say anywhere, because you never know who's listening anywhere, including now.
Right.
Because I see people listening. Okay, hi, everybody.
Right. Hello.
How did you create those scenes, how she got away? And she sort of got away, but not really, in a way.
I set that scene in my old house in Albany, and it was like a bungalow.
Uh-huh.
And I remember in my old bungalow, I don't know why I did it. I don't know why I did it like that, but it must be the way my writer's subconscious works on these things. But I remember that, what happens is she and Tony walk in her parents' house thinking they're going to be safe for at least a little while, that her parents will be home. But she notices right away that her parents are gone, but they're gone in a very strange way. Like the food's still out on the table, the chair is on the floor, like even maybe the sink is still running or something like that. But anyway, and she's like, Tony, this is weird because it looks like they left, almost like they're abducted or something, or however she puts it. And then these bars come down over the windows, and a siren goes off, and Jackie starts yelling, primary termination, primary termination. Okay, very dramatic. And so, like, they try to escape the house, but they can't. They're actually locked in, become prisoners of their house. And so she's like, look, upstairs, you can climb into the attic through one of those drop-down doors that accesses the attic. And her father, when she was a kid, had installed like a panel so that in case of a fire, they could make, you know, as a course, as you know, as a last resort, they could always climb through this access panel onto the roof if, you know, if God forbid there was a bad fire and they couldn't get out through the window. So she and Tony, while the Everett police are invading the house trying to get them, she and Tony go up into the attic and try to escape through this access panel. And irony of ironies, there's these old rusty screws that hold the panel in place. And the only way they can get the screws loose is by using, and what else, Fran? But an old Remington typewriter.
Oh, God, that's hilarious.
Yeah, so the irony is not lost on you, is it, Fran?
No. Actually, like I said last time, I was trying to find one, and I found something. It's not real, but
right.
It looks cute. I know.
Right.
I had an old Remington because I didn't have a regular typewriter. You know, electric
stuff.
Oh, my mother wouldn't let me. She made me use the old kind. That's probably why I hate to type.
Well, when I say in the book that Remington is her grandfather's from World War II, it's based on the one I have in my apartment that was my grandfather's from World War II. And it weighs like 50 pounds. I mean, it's like a tank. In fact, it's made of the same materials as a Sherman tank.
Well, I found a replica, and it's not a real typewriter. It's like you can put your stuff in it. It's like a little card holder or pencil holder or whatever, but it looks like a real typewriter. It's so cute, and my nephew thinks I'm the coolest person because he thinks it's real. I didn't tell him it was fake. I didn't want to disillusion the child. No.
No, that's funny.
So who is Kate, and what happens when Tanya is prisoner? And I am going to ever going to the dentist again after this. I'm telling you.
You have to go to the dentist today, don't you, friend?
I'm not even going to talk about it because this Dr. Porter scares the out of me. And he's mean.
Yeah, right.
And my dentist is very nice, but I think today he's going to torture me. So what can I say? Can't help it. So how did you create this man to make me never want to go to the dentist ever again? Seriously.
Oh, my God.
I was listening to him.
Oh, I know. Because there's nothing worse. Well, anyway, first I'll go back to the beginning. Kate is... Kate is Tanya's best friend in New York City. They like lived up. I think Kate lived upstairs from her on one of those lower Park Avenue apartments on the East Side, and and they did everything together. Know each other's most intimate secrets, and they'd go boozing together and all that sort of stuff. Well, anyway, Kate was also employed by the publishing industry, but she left months before and went to work for Everest in the public relations division. So she also was encouraging Tanya to join the primary program or whatever, super encouraging her to. And at the same time, she wanted her to come to New York to work in to work for Everest as well. But okay, so all that being said, Kate is kind of working both sides here. And I don't want to give away too much because I want people to I can't give away too much, but the relationship's dubious. And what ends up happening is after this primary termination takes place and there's a bunch of chase scenes and all this sort of stuff. When Tony and Tanya are finally incarcerated and placed separately in these interrogation rooms inside the Everest headquarters, the Albany Everest headquarters, I should say. Kate is, you know, at first the interrogation starts off nicely enough. Or not Kate, but Tanya is made to like, you know, we're going to give you a chance to actually reform yourself or whatever. But she fights them. I'm trying to explain this so that I don't give too much away. In order to entice her into this reform, they bring in a guy named Dr. Porter, and Dr. Porter is a local dentist who is now under the Everest umbrella, as it were, and he performed some necessary dental surgery on her without anesthesia in order to get her to talk.
I know.
I was in pain
just thinking about that, because if I have a tooth pulled without anesthesia, oh my God, trust me, you don't want to do it.
Oh my God, you have?
Well, only once, because the dentist said it wasn't going to hurt. And
oh, I bet it did, though.
It didn't tickle, that's for sure. But,
oh God.
No, you don't want to know.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. Uh-uh. That's why nobody should go to the dentist unless you're
sleeping.
No.
I know. I mean, in a way, it was me paying homage to the marathon man a little bit. I couldn't help it. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, some people read it will be like, oh, marathon man a little bit. And I'll be like, I'm not going to deny it. There was a little of that in there. But you know the way I am. I always like to borrow only the good stuff from some of these old movies.
Now, we have this other person that I really like, okay? So they finally freed and they wind up and explain the war between Drake and Everest and the Resistance. So where does she wind up? And how does this guy decide to help him? Because at least that was something, but, you know, they're not free yet, people. Don't worry about that.
Right. The Drake search engine is the last – first I'll explain it. Everest, like Amazon, is a search engine. It's not a store. It's really just a search engine. And so their mega competitor, was something I based on Google called the Drake search engine. And I think actually, like Sir Francis Drake, the explorer. And I could be wrong about this. And if I'm wrong about it, maybe somebody can make a comment. But I think in my research, I found out that Google at one point was going to be called Drake, but they, they decided not to use it. But anyway, make a long story short, in my book, Drake is the last remaining search engine next to Everest. And they've been fighting a trade war that is about to become an actual military fighting war. And, Drake, I got to do this without giving too many things away. Tanya and Tony are able to ally themselves, let's just say, with the Drake search engine via a band of resistors who call themselves, the Resistance, right? And they are resisting. They are resisting Amazon, or rather Everest. And its powers and its AI, and they're doing so they created like a headquarters way up in the Adirondack Mountains, which is entirely off grid at present. That is until the Jackie AI satellite comes into play, in which case, like I said, there'll be nowhere to hide. But who runs the Everest Resistance? But Gus from Gus's Hot Dog Shack.
I love Gus. Gus is
he's a cool dude.
Well, I hope you're bringing him back next time, because he's got to come back to do something, I guess.
Yeah, he's a keeper.
So,
and you know who I was thinking of when I wrote his character?
Go on.
I was thinking Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
That's who I had in mind entirely. I don't know if you picked up on that.
I pick up on things that I don't even know I pick up on sometimes.
Right.
I know. It's been one of those weeks, but everybody needs me to pick up on something.
You read so many books.
I'm reading one that is disturbing me. I won't say the name of it. I'm almost done with it, but it's presenting two political points of view, one from one country and one from the other. And I wrote at the top of it. I'm going to voice my opinion. The book is good, but I can't tell. I'm trying to figure out which side the author is on, and he's the
villain.
But basically, it's Palestine and Israel, and I'm trying to figure out. He sort of like presents both sides, but I can't imagine that Israel, the way he has it, would get decimated and be blindsided four different times and allow somebody to put a nuclear war. So this actually has nuclear power, nuclear war, and it's scary.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it is. The title
who wrote
is based, his name is Jack, let me look on my thing just to make sure that I have it right, yeah. John Lever, and the title of the book is Thou Shalt Not Kill. And basically what I did was, I don't know if he's going to like it, but oh well, I took the Sixth Amendment and defined it.
Uh-huh.
So that's the Sixth Amendment, is Thou Shalt Not Kill. And I explained, I started the review on my phone, I wrote it. Who has permission
right.
to take your life? Who has permission to decide that you die? And that's only God. So
right.
I defined it.
Yeah, right.
He's probably not going to love
right.
me, but the review's good. I'm reading it. I'm like, yeah, pretty impressed with myself here. But, yeah, it bothers me
yeah.
because he's got both sides of it. And it's like the president of the United States, a commander, then the Syrians and the Russians and
right.
the Saudis and the Egyptians and the other side is supposed to work with Israel. Who knows? I have a few
right.
more pages. I'll read it right before he kills me today, my dentist. So the other part that was interesting, you see, I have to read something vicious so I, you know, get in. Don't feel.
Take it into the mood.
Yeah,
oh my God.
Put me in the mood to be mean. So tell us
yeah.
how you chose the ammunition. That was scary, and how you created the scene at the fulfillment center. That was really like, oh my God, these weapons are really cool.
Yeah, that's when I really get carried. Well, okay, so the fulfillment center, you know, like, I think, how did it put it? One of my beta readers is Ben Sobiak, the author Ben Sobiak. And
mm-hmm.
and Goss and first of all, they need to get into this fulfillment center to free up family members and all this sort of stuff, right? Okay, so they have skin in the game. But how do they get into the prison, right? They have to sneak into the prison, you know, like, and
mm-hmm.
like my beta reader put it so aptly, like, no matter how much technology takes over our lives, we still need to get the laundry done, right? And so they sneak into the prison through the laundry. And after that, they're chased again, and they come, what they do is they, like, they make sure that the Everest police chase them. They actually, it's like call the rabbit giving a chase. It's an old military term.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony or Tanya and Tony are able to lead the bad Everest police guys all the way up to the resistance compound, which is guarded not only with a fence, but by these electronically controlled miniguns, military miniguns.
Oh, God.
And they're able to just decimate the enemy. So, again, I don't want to give away too much, but you know, like, you know, the book is, like, so action-packed at one point, you know. There's romance, too, but there's also all that action, too.
Well, you got to take a rest after you read the book. Oh, by the way, there are a lot of people that have asked me to give them my copy, and I told them that's why there's Amazon. Seriously?
Yep.
But,
you know what, Chris? Well, while I'm on,
yeah.
while I have you, or rather while you have me, I should say, anyone who's listening who would like a free audio code for the audio book edition, get in touch with me at vazandry@vincentzandry.com, vazandry@vincentzandry.com, or go to my website, vincentzandry.com. You can get in hold of me there. I think I still have like 19 or 20 U.S. codes. And I think, and I know I have 25 United Kingdom codes that I'll give away for free, you know. But you got to email me right away.
I'll write that on my thing afterwards when I post the link, whatever. I will.
Yeah. Okay. Because yeah. Right.
But
because
no,
a lot of people listen there.
Yeah, my UPS guy, my mailman, the people
right.
in the diner. And anywhere
right.
else I go, I can't walk in the hall, and including the porter, say, what books do you have? And when
right.
do you get them?
Right, oh, sure. I know. Well,
somebody,
you get so many delivered.
It's
You're like the library
lady. Yeah. That's what they call me, the book queen. And I didn't even expect this one. For those of you that want to read something seriously that'll just make you smile, and she got a lot of critique on it, hold a copies. I really need this today. It's 365 quotes for 365 days. The quotes she took them, told them, said who wrote them, and then she wrote her own feeling about it, and I reviewed the book last week.
Nice.
And beautiful. It made me laugh. And the girl in the doctor's office called me, and she said, "Do you have that?" And I gave it to her. So she's Kiara's reading it. So,
great.
Tanya takes another direction. Why did you add Ben to complicate her emotions? I mean, you know, she can't. Now she's confused between Tony and Ben. And I'm not going to say which one I like better. You could decide that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's great. Actually, that's funny you mentioned that because my beta reader, Ben Sobiech, the author Ben Sobiech, I sort of based that character on him, the other author. Another author, in the book, another author comes into Tanya's life, and she's known him forever because she published him, and his name is Ben in the book. And before, you know, in her previous life, she had always had a big crush on Ben, but Ben was married. But it so happens he's just going through a divorce. And so she starts, you know, as much as she's fallen in love all over again with Tony, she also is beginning to realize she has feelings for Ben also. So there's a bit of a conflict going on here. And it's funny because once Tony and Ben are both terminated from their primary program, they both realize that their writing career is sort of over. And they become, their relationship in this novel isn't fully developed yet. But they become, you could see where they're becoming friends, but you could see where there's also a tension building, because Tanya is probably eventually going to become like that water that seeps into the stone and makes a crack. So, in a very Star Wars-y way, there's going to be a little love conflict going on as the saga moves forward into book two.
So, is there anywhere? I just wrote this as I'm doing this before I announced the awards and what's coming up next in this Wild MJ Network. Is there anywhere in the world that Jackie or anybody doesn't hear you? Is there any like neutral zone that they're safe, or just it's everywhere now?
Well, yeah, like I said, in that spot in the Adirondack Mountains, for instance, where where the resistance is,
right now
that's one of those places, and there's others scattered throughout the world. But again, like that's soon going to be history because once that satellite is launched, no place will be safe. Even underground, it won't be safe. That's how powerful the satellite is.
That's scary. So before I forget, on Halloween, this book sort of fits it. Maybe it's called The Road to Nowhere. The character is a sleuth, but she turns into a feline cat at night to solve the murders. That's all I'll say about that. Uh-huh.
Yep.
And the author is Cy Weiss. On the 4th, Jay Amberg will be here with The Healer's Daughters. And on the 6th, the author of Cloud of Fraud. On the 12th, someone you know and love, we all love her, Shannon Kirk, Gretchen. And on the 14th, I'm so excited, Shape of the Night, Tess Gerrinson takes center stage on the 14th.
Wow.
And, yeah. And on the 19th, we've got R.G. Belsky, T.J. O'Connor, Jim Nesbitt and Alan Topol, and we're going to talk about how they use their actual careers in their writing. I thought that was a clever idea of mine. And
that's a great panel.
That's November. December, we have Matt Coyle on the 3rd for Lost Tomorrow. And on the 5th, we have one of my favorite people, too, John Land, for Murder, She Wrote, A Time for Murder. And on the 10th,
awesome.
We have another panel show, How Do Communities and Libraries Help Authors? And on the 12th, we're going to do a show on opiate addiction with four people. And that's what's keeping me sort of busy. There's more coming up after that. So before I announce the 2019 awards, which I will in about 5 minutes and shock everybody in the world, what is the primary focus that Everest hopes to accomplish And how does Jack Kay fit into this? Or are you going to have another artificial an artificial person too? Artificial intelligence besides her? Are there going to be more?
Right now, I think it's just Jackie, but, like, obviously they just want to take over the world. They just want to, in that very old-fashioned, you know, ultimate power kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, you really can't do any better than that or worse, I guess, in this case. And they want to just enslave everybody. And so it's – the war is really going to be about freedom, and it's going to be, you know, like – it's just like those – it's, you know, almost space opera-y, you know. But before all that, I mean, they're going to have to fight for their freedom. So really what's going to happen is, you know, the first novel was sort of cyberpunk-y, I guess you want to say, you know, very thriller, romantic suspense, sort of edgy cyberpunk-y, cyberpunk-y, I guess I could say, for lack of a better term. And the second one's going to go more into the dystopian realm, because the initial battle is not a good one that these two companies fight, and it does a job on the planet. So it's kind of, things are going to get worse before they get better. Let's just put it that way.
Well, we could tell from the end of it. We're not going to say, but the war has just begun. And everybody's going to be fighting for control, because basically it's who's going to win the war, whether Drake or whether the Resistance or whether Everest is going to win the control. I mean, there's enough here for like 10 more books, seriously.
Yeah, there probably is.
There is.
Yep,
I can tell that. And then, of course, I'm not going to say what happens at the end, and that was another tissue. Seriously, people. Not good.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
If Tanya could change, I'm just adding this because we've got about 10 minutes. If Tanya could change not going to the hot dog stand, you know, would she change what she did, or would she have done it the same way anyway?
It's a good question. I guess if they decided not to go to the hot dog stand, then I would have just had a short story. I would have ended badly. It just would have ended, you know, sputtered out. But I think Tanya's the type of person, she's a fighter, and she's a little scrapper, and she's not only pretty, she's super intelligent, and she's a fighter, she's a scrapper. You can hit her, you can knock her down, but she's going to get right back up, and you know, and that's just the type of person she is, and I think even Tony, you know, Tony's, as I mentioned in the book, he's a gifted athlete as well as a great writer and all that sort of stuff. But I think even he's kind of like super impressed with her and like kind of looks to her to take the lead. I think he just naturally looks to her to take the lead because she's sort of a leader, you know, and whether she knows it or not. And certainly as the story is going to progress over the course of the next two books, you know, I envision her as becoming like, you know, a fairly strong, you know, leader type person, you know, even more than she's developing into now.
It's hard because her friend betrays her. That's even worse. You know, you have somebody that you think you could trust and then she betrays her. And that's are you bringing Kate back in the next book or? Oh, she's evil.
Oh yeah.
She's so evil. She's one of the good evil.
Yep.
She's a great evil character. So you're gonna bring her back and everybody else back. So which ones are you bringing back in the next one?
Well, I'm definitely bringing Kate back. And can't you picture? I mean, I haven't written it yet. You know, I don't know how it's gonna go, but can't you picture like? Tanya doing some van damage on Kate in the next one, you know?
Well, I think Dr. Porter
like a show,
should do Kate.
Have a showdown? Yeah.
I think Dr. Porter should do Kate next. I mean, she deserves a little torture from Dr. Porter, too. Seriously.
That's a good idea. I'll make a note.
Yeah, I think maybe she deserves him, right? And then there's Tyree and a few others that, you know, he could, you know, explain how it works if you get in trouble. Well, maybe he'll change sides and he'll go on to the Resistance and he won't hate Tanya, poor Tanya. I'm trying to figure out, you know, what can I say? So here we go, people.
Right.
I'm going to make my major announcement before I ask Vincent some last questions. Okay. Every year I do this, and this is the hardest thing because I have to figure out which authors and which books I want to focus on. So here we go. There are people listening on my thing over there. The 2019 Just Review Awards, in case you don't know, people, that's me. Okay. Outstanding Legal Thriller, Alan Topol, The Washington Operator. Outstanding Revival of a Series, Murder, She Wrote, John Land. Outstanding Novel, and I had to come up with the different ones, based on real-life issues, R.G. Belsky, Below the Fold. Outstanding Character in a Series, Matt Coyle, Lost Tomorrows for Rick Cahill. Outstanding Original Psychological Novel, Primary Termination, Vincent Zandri.
Hey, all right. Thanks, Fran.
Outstanding Mystery Thriller, David Burnsworth, Caught Up in It, Blue Caraway. Outstanding Mystery Novel that I love, Romance, Carla Negus, Rivers, Rivals Break. Outstanding Suspense, The Reckless, David Putnam. Outstanding Paranormal Psychological Drama, The Shape of Night, Tess Gerritsen. Outstanding Medical Mystery Thriller, Saving Megan, Daniel Palmer. Outstanding Historical Mystery Thriller, High Stakes, John Dobbin. Outstanding Main Character, Jack Pertolino, author John Lansing. I love this character. Outstanding Original Novel, The Girl, The Dead Girl, and Two-Way, Carter Wilson. Nobody knows about these. Outstanding Male Author of the Year, Charles Salzberg. Outstanding Female Author of the Year, Hallie Efron. And the Book of the Year, because he spilled the beans, Novel of the Year, Capital White, John Land, and Joe Bastoni. And they are, it was fantastic because it's on the opiate crisis. And another original novel, Lee Matthew Goldberg, The Desire Card. And I decided to include a children's author. Outstanding middle school book, Simple Things, J.D. Holliday. And I'm going to post those on Facebook in a few minutes because nobody knows. Because you. You're it. So
hey, Lee Goldberg is my buddy.
Lee, well, this is the story behind it. Lee Matthew Goldberg,
he's
I thought was Lee Goldberg. I got him on my show, but I didn't know it was him. I thought it was the other Lee Goldberg. And Lee Matthew Goldberg.
They're totally separate,
idea.
But you should do a show one time. Lee and I will come on together. Because
I was going to email him to come on. Yeah, I wanted to do another one on, to be very honest, after the new year, I wanted to do one on vaping and e-cigs.
Okay.
Because I think that would be more for you. But if you could, I'm going to email Lee Goldberg. I don't know if he'll do it, though. But if you tell him to, maybe he will.
Oh, Lee Matthew? Sure, he will. If I tell him to,
Lee,
I'll
Lee
be Matthew, like, Matt, you're doing
Lee Matthew, he will. Yeah, he will. I'm going to have to ask him.
He would love
to do that.
He would love to.
Well, he just private messaged me and told me he's going to have a new book for me next year, so I know that. So, before we, what is next for Tanya and the Resistance? And if Gus could speak, what would he say? I like Gus. He's cool.
Yeah, he is super cool. Well, without giving away how the book ends,
let's just say
in the next book, the war has begun, and things are going to get very, like I said previously, things are going to get worse before they get better. There is this war they have to deal with. The next goal, and this isn't giving anything away, this is the plot. The next goal is the resistance must stop Everest from launching that satellite. So that's the plot of the next book.
Oh, wow, that's going to be scary. So what's going to happen in the third one?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
it depends how this one's going to end. But I do envision, like, things getting better. You know, like, I do envision, like, I don't envision, like, a realistic dystopian ending. I envision, like, you know, these people are able to pull off the impossible. Because I think in terms of readability, I think that would be more satisfying to my fans. I can't promise anything, folks, but we'll see.
So are you going to keep it in first person, Tanya, or are you going to have some different voices in the next one?
I don't know. That's a good question too, Fran. I've never done that before. Once I've started something in a first person and had already mm-hmm. established the narrator, I think it would be important to continue it, or it
yeah,
might throw
so
readers off. Because the novel's doing pretty good, and I don't like, people might be like, hey, wait a minute, where's Tanya's voice? So I think I have to keep it there. That doesn't mean that there can't be like offshoots, like maybe
yeah.
novellas or short stories in other people's point of view, you know?
I would like to hear the bad guy's point of view. I want to know the bad guy's point of view for what their rationale is for creating this company.
Which is a great idea.
Think.
It's just
right. me thinking,
so,
who knows what I'm going to come up with. So.
Yeah, no, that's great. Great idea. You know, like maybe I'll put together like a 50 or 60 word story about that or something.
That would be really cool. Then I could put it in my magazine if I ever decide to do another issue in January of MJ Magazine. So,
yeah,
where could everybody find out more about you? And I have one more weird question. What would happen if this really became a reality, if this plot really happened and we really lost our freedoms? And if you listen to the news, you begin to wonder, seriously.
Oh, I know. Well, the point is that these, you know, the freedom is chipped away a little bit every day, and people don't even notice it. People don't even realize their freedoms are being taken away and chipped away at every day. It's not something that would just happen overnight. It's just something that happens so gradually that you turn around, you're like, oh my God, I'm a slave. I didn't even realize it. You know, like it just came on so slowly. And that's the scary thing. And that's why, you know, you read the book now, and it's like, wow, this is shocking. But when you look at the evidence, when you look at the real evidence on, you know, the way we live our lives every day, Alexa, open the door. Alexa, put this music on. Alexa, order me a new pair of shoes that you know my size and everything from Amazon. You know, once you start getting into that mode, that way of life, you know, you don't realize that all this data is being collected. I won't have an Alexa in my house. I don't know about you, but I won't have one. Not that it's ever going to make the least bit of difference that I don't have one, but for now anyway, I'm not going to like aid the cause, you know. Mr. Bezos has enough power as it is.
I know. It's scary because, like I said, I get books in the mail. As a matter of fact, I get emails from publishers, and I just say, they say, we don't need you to tell us where to send it. We know where. I go like, but I never worked with you before. How would you know? It's like,
how would you know?
It's like scary. And then I'll get an email, you reviewed my book 10 years ago. Can you review another one? I go, I did. I mean, literally, in order to get these awards correct and right, that it was 2019, I had to go on my Just Reviews and go through all the books from 2019, and there are a lot of them. I didn't even realize how many books altogether. It's scary.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, like, the book I'm writing now, The Covenant, which I've been talking about a little bit online, this guy who abducts my character's girlfriend also comes back, and he's like, and I know where your daughter lives. And he's like, how the hell do you know where my daughter lives? And he's like, I looked it up on Google. You know, I Googled it, and there it is. You know, there's your address, you know. So it's easy now. It's scary, and it's scary. Because I never gave Google permission to use my address or anything like that, you know. That's scary stuff.
Not only is it scary, but if you go on these sites and you wonder how did you know that I did this? How did you know something about my life before? If I Google my mother, my books about my mother are on there, but yet when I Google my father, he's not there. I go like, he's lucky he's not there. It's frightening. So before we end, where can everybody find out about you and your work? And I promise to be brave, seriously.
Go to VincentZandry.com, VincentZandry.com. The website needs to be updated. Well, it's always updated, but I could use a new design, that's for sure. But anyway, but for now, go to VincentZandry.com or my Amazon author he said, ironically, my Amazon author page. But go to VincentZandry.com and you'll get everything. And by the way, folks, also, all my books, my independent books, obviously the books that are traditionally published are wide and available everywhere from Walmart to Barnes & Noble. But all my independent books are slowly going wide as well. So as I make the shift out of Kindle Unlimited into the wide sphere, you should be able to, sooner than later, get my books anywhere you want.
I was surprised, too, because mine are on Walmart, some of them. I didn't know that. And
oh, yeah.
Some of them are on and some of them are on Strand bookstore. I didn't know that either.
Yep.
Until just by accident.
Yeah.
I wish Strand would put them all on their site. That would make me really happy.
Mm-hmm. That would really make, me too.
Yeah, well, I have like 5 books on there, and I didn't know they were on there. Seriously. So I want to thank you a million times.
Fran, thank you so much, and thanks for the award.
I'm going to write the next Faces book. It's going to be different. Some of the people are going to be alive and tell their stories, and some of them are going to be dead and tell their stories.
Great.
I haven't decided yet. I have to get 5 minutes. My chair's got 25 books to review, and I've been threatened with more. So, are you coming to the Thriller Fest this year?
Yes. Ocean View wants me to come to Thriller Fest this year, so I will be there, Fran, and can't wait to see. I hope to see you before then, but the way the time goes by so fast, for sure I will see you there.
Yes, I hope so.
Looking forward to it.
So, everybody, have a great day. It's beautiful outside. Vincent, thank you 1,000 times. Everybody, have a great day.
Fran, thanks so much. Thank you. Bye-bye.